This is the Chancellor's Program. At his homegoing in November 1997, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. left a legacy of lifelong ministry to students as Chancellor and former President of Bob Jones University. He also left a wealth of recorded sermons, which we now present on the Chancellor's Program. Today we'll hear a message from a Let's Get Acquainted Day chapel service from April 5, 1971. Dr. Jones addressed a large group of visiting prospective students on the topic, The Principles of Bob Jones University.
We're glad to have our visitors with us, particularly you high school students, you folks who brought them. Now, we want to make this chapel today just about like we make it every day. We're glad to have you here. One thing about you, your 2 days in Bob Jones University will either put pep in you, you'll never get over, it'll kill you, one of the two. We guarantee that. Nobody ever comes here and goes away unaffected one way or the other. And we want it to be a blessing to you, and whether or not it is depends upon your reaction while you're here. Now, maybe you are considering Christian school. I want to tell you why we believe Bob Jones University is the best. If I didn't believe Bob Jones University was the best Christian school in the country, I'd set out to make it the best. And if I thought that couldn't be done, there was one better, I'd apply there for a job. I'm never satisfied with this business of being number two. That's all right for Avis, but it's not right for a Christian institution. God expects each of us to be the best we can be. Now, wait a minute. If God's made you a two-cylinder motorbike, he doesn't expect you to operate like a Cadillac. If all you are is a putt-putt, then the Lord expects you to putt-putt-putt-putt-putt right steady along. If you can move like a jet 747, then move like a jet 747. All God expects of anybody is that that man do his best. We tell our students it's no disgrace to fail in Bob Jones University, but it's a disgrace to do less than your best to keep from failing. If you could make an A, we'll never be satisfied with a B. If you can make a C, we won't expect a B, but we'll expect a good big C. We won't be satisfied with a C minus or a D. You know, all the Lord asks is that you give all you have, invest it fully, and use it for his glory. We haven't any right to expect more of you than God expects. God says that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. God doesn't say that he's glorified in our negligence and our living a sorry, half-dedicated life. If you want to make something of yourself, if you want to be the best kind of fellow or girl you can be for the Lord, you won't get a place that'll help you be that any more than Bob Jones University. People say, well, you know, at Bob Jones University, they have rules. Sure they do. So does the Bible have rules. God never tells any man to live without rules. If you have no rules, you have chaos, and that's what they have in some of these schools across the country today. Bob Jones University couldn't do the job it does for its students without rules and regulations. You know, if you join the Army, you have to live under rules. At least you used to. This new Army, apparently they're so eager at recruiting people, they don't care whether you keep the rules or not. They let the boot trainees make the rules, apparently. You soon won't have any Army, and you'll have revolution in America without a good Army. The Navy today lets fellas grow beards, but Bob Jones University is not Navy. We're fighting on land. We don't grow beards around here. Bob Jones University believes a Christian ought to live like the Lord's Word tells you to live. You know, when you are saved, you don't come out from under all law. You're relieved from the law of sin and death. That is the law that says you have to die because you're a sinner. When Jesus Christ died for you and you accepted that fact, that freed you from the penalty of sin, but it didn't free you from the responsibility to live a life that honors the Lord Jesus. If you wear the kind of hairdo that makes people think you belong to the devil, then you are not honoring the Lord Jesus. If a girl wears her skirts up so high that people can't tell whether she's a Christian girl or a worldly girl, and they think she's a worldly girl, she's not reflecting credit on the Lord Jesus. Listen, I have more respect for an honest sinner than I do for a Christian who dresses like a sinner and acts like a sinner. You don't expect much more of a sinner. You expect them to go on sucking on cigarettes, women to be immodest, and men to have their hair all down their back and down their eyes and leave a cloud of dandruff behind them every time they move. You expect them to be cooling their athlete's foot with bare feet. You expect that of a sinner. You expect him to look dirty and smell bad. You know, when you become a Christian, though, the Lord expects you to clean up. We don't believe cleanliness is next to godliness, but we believe it follows after godliness. I don't believe a Christian ought to smell so bad nobody wants to get next to him. How are you going to win a soul for Jesus Christ if you stink? That's right. Nobody's going to let you get close enough to him to listen to him. It's a part of your Christian testimony to take a bath. Wash your feet. I believe, girls, it's part of your Christian testimony if you need to put a little powder on your nose to keep it from shining, to put a little powder on. But I don't believe it's a part of your Christian testimony to stick on spikes for eyelashes, paint your face like a barn door, put black gop on your eyes until you look like a skull with the eyes all gone. We believe a Christian ought to look natural, look like God made you. But wait a minute. You want to look like God made you, and then you want to look like God made you over. It's what he did when you were born again. You become a new creature. You know, there's a lot of fool stuff going around today that passes for Christian philosophy. That you have to meet the world on the world's terms. That you got to rock and roll with the rest of them. You got to get your guitar and go out on the street corner and sing Jesus Jive if you're going to win people to Christ. Don't you believe it? If you win people on that basis, there'll be no change in the way they've been living, and there'll be no more good to God saved than they were lost. My dad used to say he had respect for a sinner that was real mean if he had character enough to be really mean. Get him saved, he'd make a good Christian. You get a fella that doesn't stand for anything saved, he's not going to be any, when he's lost, he's not going to be any good to God when he's saved. We are training soldiers for the battle of God today, and we believe it's necessary to have some standards in order to do that. If you want to go around and have all the boys slobber on you, you don't come here, because our boys at Bob Jones don't slobber. If your idea of a good time is to be doing everything the world does, I can recommend 100 schools in this country where you'll feel at home, and some of them call themselves Christian. But if you want to live like a Christian and act like a Christian and know the blessing of God and be so trained that when you go out, you can win souls to Christ and you can reflect credit on the Lord Jesus Christ, then Bob Jones University is the place to come to you here. That's the place for you. We are not looking for students. We are looking for the right kind of students. Our business is not getting students. Our business at Bob Jones University is getting people with character. You know there's less character every college generation these days. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about good character. I'm just talking about character. You know, character can be good or bad. But character is that quality in a person that makes them worthwhile. I know some sinners have more character than some Christians. Shouldn't be so, but that's true. I know some men have lots of character. They'll stand up, they'll fight for what they believe, and they have integrity and honor, and you can depend on them. If they're your friend, they'll stand by you. That's character. Character is that quality that makes a fellow take hold and hold on and not shake loose. You know, I like dogs like that. I'd rather have a cur dog that knows I'm his master and fights for me than to have the finest bred Wiener Schnitzel that doesn't know who his master is and that'll follow anybody home. Talk about one-man dog. I like a one-man dog. If he's my dog, I want him to belong to me. I have more respect for a plain old mangy cur dog scratching his fleas and chasing rats. If he chases them out of his master's house, than I do for the finest bred dog in the world that doesn't know who he belongs to and will go out and welcome a robber. Somebody said, we got a watchdog at our house. He watches for every intruder so he can go out and jump up and lick his face and make him welcome. That's not my idea of a watchdog. I want a watchdog that will meet you at the gate with his hair up on his neck and his teeth showing and his voice growling, saying, what business have you got around here, huh? It's my idea of a watchdog. That's character. You ever see one of these old bulldogs? His bottom jaw sticks out 6 inches in front of his top jaw. If his nose itches, all he has to do is to chew a little bit, and that bottom fang will scratch his nose. That kind of dog. You ever see one of those, and you ever see him get in a fight and get hold? Man alive, he'll lock onto that other dog, and he'll hang on, and he'll shake until he's got nothing left but a mouthful of skin and hair. And that other dog has his tail between his legs, and he's gone down the road and over the hill so fast you can't see him for where he's been. I like that kind of character. Kind of character that when it takes hold won't turn loose. You know that's the kind of character we're looking for in Bob Jones University. We're not interested in people who want one thing today and something else tomorrow. How'd you like to be married to a wife who didn't know today whether she was your wife, and then tomorrow she thought she might be, and the third day she'd forgotten again? You wouldn't want that kind of wife. You want a wife that's loyal. You want a husband that'll stand by you. One reason they have so many divorces today is people have so little character. Have a little trouble, and if you're married, you'll have a little trouble. I've been married a long time. You can tell that by looking at me. All this hair's gone. You know I've been married a long time. I'm not really old. I'm just haggard. You'll have trouble if you're married. You'll have trouble if you don't marry. You'll have trouble with your boss, and if you're the boss, you'll have trouble with folks that work for you. You can't go through life without trouble. The question is whether you go through life and do the job in spite of the trouble. That's the character. The fellow who doesn't turn aside because things get difficult, who just goes right through, who's the same today that he was yesterday, except he's more so. Fellow's your friend today, he's a better friend tomorrow. Fella loves the Lord today, he loves the Lord more tomorrow. Fella that stands something today, he'll stand for more tomorrow. But he doesn't stand for it today and be for the other thing tomorrow. I know some politicians like that. They sniff the wind. You know, they get lumbago from trying to straddle the fence and keep both ears to the ground. You try that sometime. No wonder some of these politicians are so morally deformed. It's from trying to test the wind, run the race, stand for nothing, and give the impression of being for everything. Lots of preachers are like that. Lots of Christians are like that, so-called Christians. But we believe that the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. No such man is to think he receives anything of God. You know a double-minded man, he's a fellow that if God gives it to him today, he'll turn around and give it to God's enemies tomorrow. People like that, you know. You give them something, they'll turn around and sell you out and use what you gave them to help your enemies come along and fight you. That's what we're doing politically today. We're taking the taxpayers' money and giving it to our enemies to buy guns to come and shoot us. That's being double-minded. We don't believe in that sort of thing. We believe that a Christian is a man who stands firmly on the Word of God, who says, I shall not be moved. You know, they don't sing that little chorus about Daniel much. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Look, you don't have a firm purpose if you don't make it known. And you don't have a firm purpose unless you're willing to stand alone and proclaim that purpose when everybody else differs with you. I had a letter today from a silly girl fussing at us about something. She says, the students that I like in Bob Jones University are the students that have broken the rules. I wrote her back and said, if somebody like that liked Bob Jones University, I'd know we were backslid. You like the people, you claim to be a Christian, yet the people you admire are the ones that smoke cigarettes, sneak off to movies, try to do the things Christians ought not to do. You like those folks. I'm glad you don't like Bob Jones University. If you liked us, we'd be backslidden. You know, you can tell what kind of person you are by the kind of people you like, the kind of company you want to keep, and the kind of things you go for. If you like that which the world likes, you're worldly-minded. And my Bible says, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the world passeth away, and all the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. You know, young people, you've got to make a choice. You have to choose to be with Christ, to bear his reproach, and to stand, if needs be, alone with him. Or you choose the soft way and the easy way and the worldly way. You say, well, why do I have to choose? Because if you fail to choose, you're still choosing. You know, that's true in the matter of salvation. The Lord Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. You don't have to come out blatantly and speak out against Jesus Christ to be against him. All you have to do is to not be for him. Man hasn't anything to do to be lost. You're already dead in trespass and in sin. You can't do anything to be saved. All you can do is let the Lord Jesus save you and trust him to do what he promised to do. You stay like you are, you've already chosen death. You're already dead. And the only way you can have life is to choose Jesus Christ. And the standards of the Lord as set forth in the Word of God are always standards of choosing. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Who's on the Lord's side? God's always drawing lines. The whole Word of God draws lines. It draws lines between truth and falsehood, between good and bad, between right and wrong, between heaven and hell, between salvation and damnation. The whole Word of God draws lines. And Bob Jones University is in the business of drawing lines. We draw lines between that which God approves and that which God disapproves. If God's for it, we are for it. If God's against it, we're against it. We say anything that doesn't make a man more effective in his service for Jesus Christ is the kind of thing he ought to get rid of and get out of his life. I think I use this year at chapel to our students. Here's a man running a race. He has a whiskey bottle in one hand, a gallon of whiskey, and he has a pail of water in the other. He's trying to run a race. He said, all right, I'm going to have to get rid of something. He throws the whiskey bottle away, but he hangs on to the 5-gallon jug of water. He still can't win the race because of the weight of that water. You ever try to run with a pail of water in your hand, not let it splash out? Now, that's what the Bible says a fellow ought to do, is to throw away the water, too. Look, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And run the race. The whiskey is sin. You have to get rid of the sin. But you have to get rid of the weight, too. And a weight that you hold on to and keeps you from running a good race, the weight becomes a sin. Anything in your life that hinders you in being the best you can be for God, that thing becomes just as bad a sin as the whiskey bottle is. Nobody justifies whiskey. Even the people that drink it know it can do harm. We say it's a sin to do anything that harms your body, all right? I'll get rid of the whiskey jug, but I'm going to hold on to the weight. I'll get rid of this, but I'll keep that. I don't think that's especially missed. I had a letter the other day from a man. He wasn't a southerner either. He was from a man up in Michigan. I'm going to tell you what he said. Now, don't any of you Scandinavians get mad with me about it. I don't agree with it, but this is what he said in the letter. He said, is there anything wrong with dipping snuff? He says, I dip snuff. I'm a Swede, and all Swedes dip snuff. Well, we got a few around here. Don't dip it. Doc Stenholm's a Swede. I've never seen him spit a brown stream. Better not. He says, all Swedes dip snuff. You ever see anybody dip snuff? Put it right down in here. Go around all day miserable looking for a place to spit. Somebody, I told him what Billy Sunday said. Fellow said, Mr. Sunday, can a man chew tobacco and go to heaven? Billy Sunday said, yep, but he'll have to go to hell to spit. And you imagine golden streets with chewing tobacco spit all over. Listen, anything you have to go to hell to do, you better leave it alone. This fellow says, is anything wrong with dipping snuff? I don't see anything in the Bible that mentions snuff. I wrote him back. I said, I don't see anything in the Bible that mentions Fords and Cadillacs and automobiles and Volkswagens either. I don't see anything in the Bible that mentions electricity and jet airplanes. I don't see anything in the Bible that mentions dope. But you wouldn't say, what's wrong with a Christian taking dope, would you? Anything you have to say what's wrong with it, you better leave it alone. You better give God the benefit of the doubt. Anything that you have to say, look, what's wrong with this? Chances are there's something wrong with it. I never hear anybody say, what's wrong with going to prayer meeting? What's wrong with going out knocking on doors trying to win souls to Christ? You know, somebody said about Bob Jones University, they are too religious out there. I think the only thing you can't have too much of is faith in Jesus Christ and a desire to serve Him. You can have too much money sometimes. A lot of folks are damned by having too much money. I've seen more kids ruined because they had rich parents that spoiled them than by almost anything else. I'm sorry for kids whose parents have so much money they give the kid everything. Look, if you students are having a hard time, you thank God for it. You never amount to anything when everything's given to you. You'll develop a philosophy that everything's owed to you. It's good to have to go out and scratch for it. You better thank God if you have to root hard to dig up a living. That's a blessing of God. God makes work as a man's blessing. You have to have a hard time, thank God for it. You can have too much money. You can have too much success. I've seen people ruined by being too successful. You can get too much applause. Nothing hurts a man more than flattery. You can get too much of most things, but you can never get too much of Jesus. I tell you, friend, the joy of heaven is going to be that in heaven we can look on Him forever and never get tired of Him. And at the end of eternity, which never comes, we'll find the Lord Jesus just as wonderful and even more wonderful than we did the first time we looked on His face. You can't have too much of that. You can't have too much efficiency in serving the Lord. You can't have too much zeal for souls. You can't give God too much the benefit of the doubt about anything. Now, if you are the kind of young man or woman wants to make something of yourself because you love the Lord Jesus, if you are the kind of young man or woman that wants to be taught, wants to learn, wants to know what you can do to be efficient, then I think Bob Jones University is the place for you. But if you are somebody that's more concerned with doing what the world calls having a good time, and a Christian should never apply that expression to the same things the world applies it to. When you are a saved person, you are not supposed to get your pleasures the same way the world gets its pleasures. You have a new appetite and a new nature that has to be satisfied. You remember the man said, I've got lots in my barn now, soul, eat and drink. Thou hast much goods. He tried to satisfy his soul on that which satisfies only the body, food and drink. You can't satisfy your soul with the things that satisfy the world if you're a Christian. You are supposed to be heavenly minded. You are supposed to have a heavenly nature and a spiritual nature. If you want to grow, if you want to be something for God, if you have a proper sense of values, then Bob Jones University is a good place for you. But if you're one of these people that's up today and down tomorrow and one thing today and another thing tomorrow, if you're the kind of fellow you get with the worldly people, you act like a worldly person, you get with Christian people and you try to be reasonably pious if it doesn't make you uncomfortable, then you don't want to come to Bob Jones University. This institution is an institution that sets a challenge, but so does the Lord Jesus. He says, if any man will come after me, let him take up a cross daily and follow me. You're never any use to God without picking up a cross and carrying it. You'll never serve the Lord if you stay within the fortress of the world and behind the walls of worldliness. You have to go to Him without the camp to bear His reproach. We are training people in Bob Jones University to be reproach bearers and cross bearers. Lots of folks looking for crowns. You don't have to look for a crown. you bear the cross and you bear the reproach, and someday the Lord will give you the crown. You never find happiness, as my father used to say, looking for happiness. You stumble over happiness in the road of God's purpose for your life. And this institution is trying to show people the way of the Lord as set forth in the Word of God. And we are interested in young people who want to walk in the will of God, even though there are few people there. You want to go the way of the world where all the multitude is, then you go where those people are. If you want to do the will of God, you come here. This is God's institution. There's no place in the world where the faculty and the administration are more concerned for the welfare of the students, where you'll find more kindness per square foot. But there's no place in the world where you'll be expected to work more hard, be more efficient, more dedicated, more surrendered, and more yielded to the Lord Jesus. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for these young people that are visiting us today. May not one go away from here unsaved who may have come here unsaved. We pray that they'll find here an atmosphere of blessing. Don't let any of them come here who ought not to come. But we pray they don't let the devil keep any away who ought to come to Bob Jones. And we pray Thee for our students. We thank Thee for the way they stood with us in the Bible conference and the blessing of God upon it. Bless these friends and these alumni who brought these young folks here. May it be a time of great blessing for all of us, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
You've heard a message by Dr. Bob Jones, Jr., who during the latter part of his life served as Chancellor of Bob Jones University. This message, The Principles of Bob Jones University, was recorded April 5, 1971. You can order a cassette copy from the campus store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Please enclose a check for $5.13. This message is also available on the Internet at WMUU.com. Listen each week at this time for the Chancellor's Program, sponsored by Bob Jones University.